clarify where we got stuck in Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay, on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, we had Rav Yochanan, the name was transferred to Rav Eloi, transferred to Rav Yovan, dealing with two situations. Am b'makomo v'kibel chayav, akar b'makomo v'kibel patur. We also have a brisa to this effect, statement of Acherim, Amad b'makomo v'kibel chayav, akar b'makomo v'kibel patur. And we ask, what's the difference between these two situations? Why is the Zorek chayav in the first case, when the Makabel is stationary, and why when the Makabel moves in order to be able to receive the object, now the Zorek is patur? We pointed out the Yitachin that these are two Lashonos of Rashi. One Lashon of Rashi is the Gemara. One Lashon of Rashi is the found in the end of the Sugya. And one Lashon of Rashi is found in the beginning of the Sugya. In the end of the Sugya, namely where we're holding currently, on the, towards the bottom of the Hey Amud Aleph, here Rashi speaks about the fact, the lo avid hanacha, that we have no hanacha on the part of the Zorek. How do we define hanacha? What's the difference between when the Mekabel is stationary? That's called a hanacha of whom? When the Mekabel is stationary, whose hanacha is it? The Zorek's hanacha. When the Mekabel moves, then we say that there is no hanacha. Right? According to this Lashon, there's no hanacha. How do we define a hanacha? Does hanacha mean that the object stopped? No, because the object stops also in the second case. Well, how are we defining, I'm sorry, how are we defining hanacha?
The object sort of taking its natural course, that it's like living out its inertia, essentially.
When the object is put down, in other words, that can be done by, in the world of Zorek, how is an object put down? So as you point out, when the force that sent it, when it gets to the place that the force that sent it wants it to be, right? In other words, so when I'm throwing to a catcher, so I'm a Zorek, so the hanacha is where the force sends it. The force is sending it into his glove. So there we have a hanacha. Masha Ein Kein, when I throw it to the left of the catcher and he has to run and catch it, how do we view his act of catching it? Do we view it as, in other words, again, according to this Lashon, it's not a hanacha. What is it if it's not a hanacha? He's an interceptor. He's intercepting it before it hits what? The ground, before it hits the ground. Namely, had I wanted to throw it to the catcher, I would have thrown it to the catcher. I'm throwing it to the left of the catcher, to the right of the catcher. So my hanacha, the hanacha of the Zorek, would be when it hits the ground. This person is simply intercepting it before it hits the ground. So I'm patur because I did an akira, and my hanacha was intercepted by someone else. But there's no, in this situation, halachically, there is no hanacha. That's one way of understanding. The other way, that over here there's no hanacha. That's what Rashi points out. The lo avid hanacha, and it appears that no one else is in the picture. Masha Ein Kein, Rashi on the top of the amud, over there, what is he saying, Rashi on top of the amud? Lo avid hanacha mikocho. But rather, we have a hanacha. But it's not his kocho, it's the koach of the catcher. Namely, we have over here a situation of patur because of shnayim sha'asa'uhu. We have party A doing the akira and party B doing the hanacha, that we view the interception as a hanacha. That's the machlokas between these two lashonos of Rashi. Let me just sharpen it. To you'll see the difference in these two lashonos, and the sharpening was done by Rav Asher Weiss, who happens to be very sharp. He has chidushim on Shabbos. He says, what if you have the following case? What if we have a person who is throwing an object, and he throws it into the air, and I'm standing there next to my Rebbe, and I said, Rebbe, can I catch it? Can I run and catch it? Because if it hits the ground, he's going to be chayav, minimally a korban chatas, maybe even kares. I don't know if he was shogeg, I don't know if he was mazed, but can I run and catch it to prevent him from being over an avera of shogeg, of mazed, etc.? What would my Rebbe tell me? What would my Rebbe tell me? That's exactly nafkamina. If my Rebbe learned like the second Lashon of Rashi, he would say, go for it. Catch it. Because when you catch it, you're simply intercepting it before it hits the ground. You're not doing anything. There's no hanacha. He did an akira, and you are preempting the hanacha. You're preempting the hanacha, but you're not doing a hanacha. That's not a hanacha. You're intercepting it. You're causing it to stop before it hits the ground. In the world of Zorik, a hanacha has to be that it gets to its goal. You're intercepting it before it gets to its goal. You're running and intercepting it. Mashain Kain, if my Rebbe, you're going to like the second Lashon of Rashi, namely that when I grab it, when I intercept it, what happens now? I'm moving from a deraisa to a drabana, from one person doing the entire malacha to a shnayim sha'asa uhu, we have a gemara. Lo amrinan lo adam chata kedei sheyizke chavercha. We don't allow a person to do an iser drabanan like Rudias Hapas to prevent someone else from doing an iser deraisa. Punkt, this is the nafkamina in terms of how do we view this act of the makabel. Do we view this act of a makabel as a nothing? Simply an interception, stopping my malacha in the middle. He's pulling the pot out of the tanur. He's taking the plug out of the wall before my pot is fully baked. But he's not doing anything halachically. Or do we say in the world of hotza'ah? Or do we say no that this individual is doing a hanacha? He is stopping the object. This object is coming to a halt in his hands. That's how we define a hanacha. Okay, so we saw this in two Lashonos in Rashi. I photostated for you a Rambam. I'd like to read the Rambam, and I'd like you to tell me whether the Rambam is like the first Lashon of Rashi or the second Lashon of Rashi. I'm sorry I didn't give you this Rambam earlier. Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Tesvav is our Gemara. Hazorek v'nocha betoch yodo shel chavero. It depends. This is the statement of Yochanan. Im amad chavero b'mekomo v'kibla hazorek chayav. Shaharei Akar v'hiniach. You have it? Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Tesvav. Yeah?
Okay.
V'im ne'ekar chaveru m'makomo v'kibla patur. Okay, this is Rabbi Yochanan's statement. This is the right question is why? Why is he patur in the second case? So what the Rambam does is he continues to the next line of the Gemara, but then in the next line of the Gemara he explains the previous line. So we'll get to it in a minute, exactly what this next line means. Zorak v'rotz, the same person. Rotz ha-zorik atzmo, achar ha-chefetz v'kiblo b'yodo v'shus ha-cheres, ochutz la-arba amos, patur, we'll come to this. But the Rambam explains, ki'ilu ne'ekar acher v'kiblo. We're comparing this to that second case, to ne'ekar chaver mimakomo v'kiblo. Right? We're comparing that third case to the second case. Ki'ilu ne'ekar acher v'kiblo. And why in that second case are you patur? She'ein ha-hanocha gemura, this is the first language of Rashi or the second language of Rashi. This is Rashi on the bottom of the page, She'ein kan hanocha klal, or this is lo haya hanocha mikocha, but we have hanocha on the part of the mekabel. No. Which is the second one? Ein hanocha b'chlal. This is Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. This is the Rashi that's on our sugya over here. Ein kan hanocha klal, that you don't have ein hanocha gemura. Hanocha is not completed. Ad shi anuach hachefetz mimakom shahayla lanuach b'shasakira. Not potter because of shnayim shasuha. This is, you know, it's the Rambam. If the Rambam would have been asked by that student, should I run and grab the ball before it hits the ground? Rambam said, go for it. Go. Because you're not doing a hanacha. That's not a hanacha. The hanacha is if it hits the ground. You're going to preempt the hanacha by grabbing it. Okay, wonderful. So now I hope now we understand these two lashonos of Rashi clearly. Okay? No? No, oh, come on. Okay, Yishai, you'll think about it. Okay.
Hasn't come to rest yet.
Okay, that's what we speak of Yishuv Hadas. That when Das has to come to a menucha, to a rest. Okay, I'm sorry. I've been thinking about this for 72 hours. Okay, so okay, this is it. This is what we have over here in the two Lashonos of Rashi. With a Nafkamina, and we have a Rambam, like one of the Lashonos. Before we continue to the next line of the Gemara, I would just like to read with you one more Rishon on this. And tell me what you think this Rishon, like where he would fit in, if at all, into these two Lashonos. Look in Rabbeinu Chananel. Again, look wherever you have Rabbeinu Chananel. We're trending as to what Gemara you have. But Rabbeinu Chananel, not on the next line of the Gemara, on these lines of the Gemara that we just read, before the Bo'i Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, on the Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amad b'mekomo v'kibel, kagon, shezorak l'chaveiro, chayav. All right, the pitcher throws it to the catcher, the pitcher is chayav. Shena'aseis machshavto, ne'ekar mimekomo, acharei shezorak, shekibla, namely that he only received it when he had to move to a different place, and he moved to that place after the ball was in the air, patur hazorek, shaharego nitztarcha kavanato lekabel ba'oto makom, but rather, memela ba'al yado. Look, we always have a problem with Rabbeinu Chananel's the girsa in this mesechta. This is not the first time that we have a problem over here with the syntax. But leaving aside the syntax, he distinguishes between the two situations, that in situation A, na'ase kavanaso. In situation B, lo na'aseit kavanato. What was his kavana? It's unclear. Was his kavana that he wanted to throw it to the catcher's glove and he accidentally threw it to the left? Or that he wanted it to hit the ground? On purpose, he wanted to throw a ball that would be a ball, not a strike. In other words, on purpose, he threw it to the side, but he thought it would hit the ground, and then this catcher ran and caught it. Either way, he lo na'aseit kavanato. Would you link this in at all with the world, with the two worlds of Rashi, with Rashi / Rambam and Rashi of Shnayim Sha'asa Uha, or would you understand this as a third Perush? And if you would link it with one of the two Lashonos of Rashi, which one would it be more similar to?
Seems more like the top, but here it's Kavana, not Koko. So I don't know.
Menachem, what do you say?
It would be definitely more similar to what Ishai is saying, that there was no Anacha B'chla. But I like the Kivun that Ishai was saying, maybe that's totally more in the Kavana, and there's no Anacha because his...
Right. In other words, he clearly does not bring in over here Shnayim Sha'asa Uha. He doesn't mention Shnayim Sha'asa Uha. This is nothing to do with that Lashon of Rashi up on top that we have over here a Hanocha on the part of the Mekabel. He's just purely dealing from the perspective of the Zorek. So it could be that over here at this stage in the Gemara that Rabbeinu Chananel would be learning like Rashi, namely that we don't have a Hanocha. That a hanacha requires kavana. That's one of the conditions of hanacha. We miss it. Or it could be that he's simply telling us this has nothing to do with the world of hotza'ah. But in general, the world of melechas machsheves needs kavana. Right? In other words, this is, if you don't have kavana, you're like misasek. You're not responsible for an act which is not stemming from your kavana. Like if you were to intend simply to lift something and it happened to be rooted and you uprooted it, we're not going to call you a kotzer, because you had no intent to be kotzer. You thought that this watermelon was simply sitting on the ground. You had no idea it was attached to the ground. And so that's not considered to be malacha. So over here, he's simply telling us that we have a general chisaron over here of the world of malachas machsheves, that we lack kavana. Yes? The Rambam, three halachas above that, brings in kavana. Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel. He says black and white. That's a Gemara on Daf Kuf Beis, where you throw it and a dog bites it or goes into the tanur. He says ein hanocha zol shenit kaven la. But here in halach in our Gemara Tesvav, he doesn't say that. He says ein hanocha gemurat shenuach hakevitz umakom shayel la nuach b'shas akira. In other words, our Rambam is defining hanocha. Previously, he spoke about niskaven. Those are. Right, pashtus, yeah. In other words, these are two different issues. Kavana, if you recall, in that Gemara, we spoke of the Kuf Beis, we dealt with the question, is there a din of achshave? In other words, you normally need dalet al dalet. Can you be machshiv a makam, which is less than dalet al dalet, as dalet al dalet? We saw Tosas quoted that Gemara and wanted to know why the Gemara didn't speak about yad as being achshave. Did you have kavana? But that's not our sugya of kavana currently, okay? In other words, our Rambam over here is Yud Gimel Tesvav, not Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel. Okay. Okay, so next I'm just bringing in Rabbeinu Hananel, that it could be that we have this triad of Rashi, Rambam, and Rabbeinu Hananel all hold that we have over here no Hanacha, as opposed to the previous Rashi that brings in Shnayim Sha'asa Uha, that by the way we have a Hanacha, but the question is who's doing the Hanacha? Or it could be Rabbeinu Hananel is simply a perush of his own, simply skirting the issue. But now, after we have the two halachas that Rav Yochanan felt were clear, we have a bo'i Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan now has a question on the Peyamet Aleph. What if we have the following situation? Bo'i Rav Yochanan. Zorak chayfetz, next to the last line, next to the last thin line. Zorak chayfetz v'ne'ekar hu mimkomo. Namely, that the pitcher runs faster than the ball. V'chazar v'kiblo, he throws the ball in one spot, he throws it as an ellipse, and then he runs, and he catches the ball in another spot. Mahu. What is halacha in this situation? Mai kami boile, what's Rav Yochanan's question? So here we have, you're aware, two girsos. Let's read our girsa in our Gemara, which is Rashi's girsa. Amar Rav Ada Brava, shnei kochos ba'adam echad kami boile. Shnei kochos ba'adam echad, ka'adam echad damei v'chayav, odilma kishnei b'nei adam damei upatur teku. So now, again, we have minimally two perushim in our sugya. The first lashon of Rashi and Rashi on top of the page, Rashi on our sugya itself. Let's try and learn this Gemara according to those two lashonos. If we learn that the issue when you're dealing with two people, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven throws, Shimon runs and catches it, the issue is that there is no Hanacha, and now we're comparing this to Reuven running and catching it, should this be similar or different? That's our question. In other words, we have a case of someone running and catching it, but that someone was Shimon. Now our question is, what if that someone is Reuven himself? So what are the two sides? Either we'll say that Reuven is like Shimon, and therefore Reuven would be Chayav Patur. If Reuven is like Shimon, when Shimon ran and caught it, what was the din of Reuven? Patur. So do we say that Reuven's running and catching it is like Shimon's running and catching it? Namely, we have no Hanacha. We have no... It didn't land. It was intercepted. My nafkamina, who intercepts it? My nafkamina, if Shimon intercepts it, or if Reuven intercepts it. That when he threw it, he was throwing it to the ground. And then it was intercepted. If Shimon intercepted it, he's patur. Hu hadin, if Reuven intercepts it, he is patur. That's what the Gemara says over here. Would we say this is like shnei kolchot b'shnei b'nei adam dami? That we compare Reuven to Shimon. We compare Reuven to Shimon. Might not mean if Shimon intercepts or if Reuven intercepts. Or maybe here there's a difference. Why over here would there be a difference?
Because he did both sides.
And therefore? And therefore? All right. This is the planned Hanacha. Namely, we didn't know what was going in Reuven's mind. But Reuven all along planned to run and catch it. He just couldn't be in two places simultaneously. So he couldn't, you know, like Babe Ruth pointed, I'm going to hit the home run there, right? So Reuven couldn't do that because there was no there. He wanted to catch it. So retroactively, we see that there was a Hanacha. You know, it's Ka'adam Echadame. This is one person, and he had the Kavana. And this is not an interception. This is what he had planned all along to catch it. That's the Abaya. Do we view Reuven like Shimon and we view that act of being an act of interception? Or do we say no, that since we have over here the same person who's doing it, he's not intercepting himself. He is fulfilling his kavana, and this is then the landing point. This is the landing point that was intended all along. Teku. Why don't we ask Reuven? Maybe we're dealing with something that has to be objective. Maybe if objectively it's unclear. I don't know. In other words, but this is Lechor, these would be the two sides according to that Lashon. Let's take the second Lashon. That when Reuven throws it and Shimon runs and catches it, we have over here Shnayim Sha'asa'uha. So what now Reuven is throwing it and he's running and catching it. So what over here is our question? Do we view Reuven like Jekyll and Hyde, a split personality? He is now Reuven and Shimon. Namely, when he did the Akira, he did an Akira without a Hanacha. When he runs and catches it, he's doing now a Hanacha, because according to that Lashon, that is a Hanacha. It's not an interception. It's a Hanacha, but it's Hanacha without an Akira. Or do we say, It's one person. This is a Retzef. This is a continuity. This isn't Reuven behaving like two people. This is Reuven behaving like himself. He's throwing the ball to himself. Sometimes you can play squash against, you know, with an opponent. Sometimes you play squash against yourself. You can play against yourself. So Reuven over here is one person, and he's doing an Akira and a Hanacha. Namely, we don't view it as doing an Akira without a Hanacha and a Hanacha without an Akira. We don't view that Reuven is playing two roles. He plays the role of the pitcher, and then he runs around and plays the role of the catcher. The pitcher is the Oker, the catcher is the Meniach, and he's playing both roles. Now we say that this is one person, this is one Retzef. He is not pitcher and then catcher, he's patcher. In other words, he's a pitcher and catcher simultaneously. He's doing one long act on both sides. Now, that means that according to both Perushim of Rashi, it lends itself to two options. What? Yes?
According to the second option, it wouldn't matter what his initial kavanah was.
Nachon. In other words, but the it's not a question of over here of kavanah, of creating a hanacha. According to the second way of learning, we say that a catcher can create a hanacha without being in mind of the pitcher. Right? When you intercept something, you are a meniach, according to that second lashon. And over here, Reuven is the Oker and the meniach, but not as two people, but as one person. So what we've done up to now is point out that our Gemara can be learned by one lashon of Rashi straight through, by the other lashon of Rashi straight through. But as Rav Chisdin always points out, whenever you have two options, there's always a third option. And that is that they're both right. Namely, maybe the question of the Gemara is, which of these lashonos is correct? Namely, the Gemara itself knew that there were two ways of understanding why Zarak, Akar Acher B'Makomo V'Tafas Pater. The Gemara knew there were two ways of understanding that. But the Gemara wants to give us a nafkamina. Not the nafkamina of Asher Weiss. Right? Of a third party asking his Rebbe, should I run in and catch it? The nafkamina would be if the same person runs and catches it. Namely, that if we're dealing with a missing hanacha, so a missing hanacha, my nafkamina, whether it's someone else or it's him, we have a missing hanacha. But if our issue was shnayim sha'asa'uha, that's when you have two people. But when you have one person, he's the same person. That's exactly what we're dealing with over here. Namely, the Gemara is Gemara. That's why Rashi brings two lashonos, because the Gemara itself, to a certain degree, has that inner suffix in itself. What over here is the issue? And that's what the Gemara means. But we have over here shnei kochos ba'adam echad kami boile. Do we say shnei kochos ba'adam echad ka'adam echad dame? That this person, he's the Oker and the Miniach, he's one person. Maybe our issue wasn't Shnayim Shasuha. Our issue was when you have two people, there's no Hanacha. And so even when you have one person, there's no Hanacha. In other words, all you have is an Akira without a Hanacha. Who raises this option? Who raises this option that maybe the Suffolk in the Gemara is which language of Rashi do we learn like? I'll read to you Tosfos Harosh. Hachi Garis Rashi. Kishnei b'nei Adam upatur. Taima d'shnei b'nei Adam patur. Kevon shelo hinicha lelech ad mekoma lo havia hanacha. If the reason that in two people with Reuven and Shimon was patur is because there is no hanacha, hachinami. Kevon shechatva mehilucha, when this person grabs it in the air after he threw it, lo hayesa adayin omedes lanuach eina nikres hanacha. Even when you have one person, there's no hanacha, because an interception is not a hanacha. O dilma ke'ech adam echa dami. Gabi shnei b'nei adam, hay depater la mishum delo chashiva hanacha, el mishum dehavi shnayim sha'asa'uha. Hilkach haydavad hakol chayav. This is exactly what Tosfos HaRosh is saying. He's saying we have these two options in Rashi, and these two options in Rashi lend themselves to a nafgamina in the case when we have one person. If our issue is a lack of hanacha, by one person also we have a lack of hanacha. If our issue was shnayim sha'asuha, by one person it's not shnayim sha'asuha. But then on that, the Tosfos HaRosh says, v'lo mistaber la histapek baze. But this makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. Why in the world would we say that if a person is throwing something to himself, that a hanacha? He's playing by himself. He's playing. Why would we have such a side? Why would we say that when, just like one person throws something in the air and someone else runs and intercepts it, that's not a hanacha. If the person throws it in the air and he himself catches it, that's not a hanacha. That's not an interception. I caught it. I'm not playing with, trying to change my uniform. Right, I threw it with my white uniform. Then I changed to my blue uniform and intercepted it. I threw it to myself. I simply threw it to myself. Like, you know, it's, I don't know whether there's such a concept in the world of basketball that I can like throw a pass to myself. You know, it's over. Let's say someone's coming at me. I'll toss the ball up in the air and I'll run behind him and I'll catch it and then I'll dunk it or whatever. I don't know whether people do that.
No.
No, that's like walking. It's usher. Okay. In any case, you know, it's but. But we wouldn't view it necessarily as the same as someone intercepting it. It wasn't intercepted. Lo mistabir listapik buzeh kevan she'asa hakol chayev afal pishlo hiniyach alelech ad mokum shayisaru li alelech dehavei kamon iskavin lizrak shmonev zarak arba. This is not a case where he's intercepting it, preventing it from falling. His kavana all along was to catch it when it's in the air. Right? Namely, that what Tosfos HaRosh felt that this is, you know, like, this kind of is how Rashi learned Pshat, but he didn't feel that there was a suffix here. Why would Rav Yochanan have a suffix? That's what Tosfos HaRosh moves over to Rabbeinu Chananel, says, let's switch girsa. Let's see if the original girsa, Rabbeinu Chananel's girsa, will give us Pshat in the Gemara, where he felt Rashi was not giving us Pshat in the Gemara. Okay, but in any case, what we have over here then, so far, is that we have Rashi 1, Rashi 2, right? Rashi 1 is Ein Hanacha, that when you have two people, there's no hanacha.
And we're still on the bottom, right?
Rashi on the bottom. That's what I call Rashi. Rashi on our sugya. Okay. I'm sorry for the... Rashi on the bottom. And this we saw black and white, I think, in the Rambam. Maybe it's Rabbeinu Chananel, but it's not clear. Rashi 2 is that our issue is Beis She'asa'uhu. That's why you're Pater. And this is found in Rashi 2. And we learned that the Abaya of Rabbi Yochanan within Rashi 1... independently, within Rashi 2, independently, but we also have the Tosfos HaRosh, who says that the Abaya, or raises the possibility, that the Abaya of Rav Yochanan is, do we hold one, or do we hold two? That one and two would give us a nafgamina in a situation where the same person runs and catches it. Okay? Fine. Okay, that's what we have so far. But Tosfos HaRosh felt that this is wrong, that if you're dealing with one person, clearly his kavana is to do the entire malacha of throwing and catching, and there's no reason in the world why we should pater him. There's no reason in the world why in this case we'll say there's no hanacha. That was his intent all along. So after seeing this framework, now we can move over to Rabbeinu Chananel. Now, we saw that in Rabbeinu Chananel, his issue was as follows, that when I throw something to a catcher and it goes straight into his mitt, then I am chayav. Naaseis kavanasi. I threw it, I have a akira, it landed by my force where I wanted it to, that's my hanacha, I'm chayav. When I throw it to the side and the other fellow runs and catches it, I'm pater because lo naaseis machshavti. According to that, if I were to throw it, run and catch it, what should certainly be the halacha?
Chayev.
Certainly I should be chayev. That's what I intended. I know myself. That's exactly what I did. I threw it to myself. Namely, what is the abaya over here? That's one half. That's within Rabbeinu Chananel. Namely, Rabbeinu Chananel is saying, according to the previous sugi, I should certainly be chayev. If I'm going to have a ptur over here, it's going to come from somewhere else. So that's where Rabbeinu Chananel, that's how he learns the Gemara. Let's look at his girsa within Tosos. Rabbeinu Chananel goris ipcha. Kishnei b'nei adam dame v'chayav. Why? Da'amar le'el, ama b'mekomo v'kibil chayav. That previously we saw that whenever his kavana is fulfilled, there's a chiyuv. Hachinami ki kibra hu atzmo v'lo chatofa mehirucho l'chayev. There's no interception over here. I threw it and I caught it. Whenever my machshava is being done, I am being oker and being meniach, I'm chayev. So according to the previous sugya, I should be chayev. The hoy is abid machshavto, because my machshava is being done. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, that's the ikar. When my machshava is being done, I'm chayev. Machshava is not being done, I'm patur. When I throw something to myself, my machshava is being done. So what's the other side of the Gemara? Odilma ka'adam echad adami upatur. Dahave kemosh and nose miyamino lismolo. Afal pishe vira dalet amos patur. The ptur over here is coming from left field. It's coming from a totally different area. The ptur over here is because we're comparing this to a situation where I'm standing in Rishus HaRabim, I pick up an object over here, and I pass it to my right hand, left hand over here, and just as over here I am putter, so also when I throw it from my left hand, sorry, to my right hand, and it goes four amos in the Rishus HaRabim, I'm also going to be putter. That's where the ptur comes from. The ptur is not coming from the previous sugya. This is not like we learned within Rashi, that within one we have two sides, or within two we have two sides. Within the previous sugya, or Tosfos Harash, that there, depending on how you learn the previous sugya, you're going to come up over here with the chiyuv or ptur. No. According to the previous sugya, I'm certainly chayav. And that's what it's, in other words, that when we compare this to Shnayim Sha'asa'uha, this is not compared to the Shnayim Sha'asa'uha of the catcher running. This is compared to the Shnayim Sha'asa'uha where the catcher stood still. My kavana was done. When I throw something to myself, my kavana is being done. I'm certainly going to be chayav. But maybe our ptur over here is that this ball didn't move anywhere.
He's defining zrika like havara. That's what he's saying.
Now we have to understand. Okay, so now,
that's what he's saying here.
So now we have to understand what's going on. Because l'chora, Rabbeinu Chananel knows very, very much that we're talking about a case where this person is running and the object is in motion. How do you compare that to a person standing still and passing it from his right hand to his left? What over here is the ptur? This is what we got stuck last time. What over here is the ptur ben uchano? But now I think what I tried to do, is just put things into context. Namely, that Rashi and Tosfos Harash, they were all working that somehow the abaya of Rav Yochanan came from within the previous sugya. According to Ben Uchananel, no. The previous sugya sends us in one direction, to the din of chayav. And that's what we call from Shnei B'nai Adam, from the case of Reuben and Shimon in the previous sugya, you're certainly going to be chayav. However, we have over here a new ptur. Now we have to try to understand what's going on with this new ptur. Tosfos HaRash, who was so frustrated by Rashi, and therefore felt I have to go to Rabbeinu Chananel, after quoting Rabbeinu Chananel, he says, "Now this is crazy. This doesn't make any sense. Like what's going on over here? The object is flying 4 hours. How can I be putter? How can I say it landed backwards, started when it moves? We see a Google map. It moves from one place to another place. He threw it in the air. He threw it in the infield and he caught it in the outfield. How do you say that nothing moved? Okay, so now let's try and understand Rabbeinu Chananel. What exactly is his comparison to Yad Yamin and Yad Smol? But just before we get to Rabbeinu Chananel, Rabbeinu Chananel picked up this terminology somewhere, Yad Yamin and Yad Smol. But if we look at where he picked it up from, the meaning there, and Rabbeinu Chananel was aware of that, is totally different. But that's why I focused that for you. There are two sides of the page. One side you have the Rambam and a Kedushi Haran that we're going to come to. The other side you have a Yerushalmi. So this Yerushalmi, I just wanted to point out to you, is parallel to the Bavli. If you look in the left, in the right-hand column, namely, this is Daf Gimel Medbeis, 5 lines from the bottom. Rav Yochanan Boi. This is Rav Yochanan, the same Rav Yochanan. We have an our Gemara. Haya Ome Birushus Harabim V'Zarak V'Kidem V'Kolta Mahu. Exactly our case, right? That we have a person throwing, running, Kidem, and then he caught it. Mahu, how do we view it? So the Gemara on the bottom line says, I'm just sort of skipping a bit within the Yerushalmi.
It's very difficult to read this Yerushalmi. Very difficult to read every Yerushalmi. After learning Shkolim, we thank Talmud Bavli for being a Talmud Bavli. Ma bein, the bottom line, ma bein nocha la'aretz v'nocha l'toch yado. What's the issue? If he would have thrown and it would have hit the ground, he would have been chayev. That's Zorik. So he threw it and he caught it. Why shouldn't he be chayev? Exactly like we said from the previous sugya, why shouldn't he be chayev? So go now to Dalad Amad Aleph, and the Gemara raises an option. The last word on the second line, Utahei Pshita Le Shehu Pater. Maybe he should be Pater. Ilu Zorak B'yamin V'hotzi V'kolat B'smol Shema Eino Chayev Min Hadin Piv. What if a person is thrown into his mouth? Piv Lav Ka'acherhu V'kos Smolo Ka'acherhu. That maybe we would compare this to a person who throws something with his right hand and catches it with his left hand, that in this case you're chayev? No, in this case you'd be potter. Why, according to the Yerushalmi, when you throw something from your right hand to your left hand, would you be potter? Because how do we view people's hands? No, that's not what the Yerushalmi is saying. The Yerushalmi over here is speaking about ka'acherhu. Ka'acher means... Right. In other words, that the Yerushalmi's world, maybe, that Yerushalmi has a havamina, maybe that we view the limbs of an individual like two different people. That we view it as though I was Zorek with my Reuven hand and I caught it with my Shimon hand. That this is like Shnayim Sha'asa'uhu. Namely, the Yerushalmi has this concept that maybe Yamin and Smol are like two different people. And then, if you go down a few more lines in the Gemara says, Rav Mana Boy, it's the beginning of the line about 12 lines down. Rav Mana Boy, Me'ata, if we're going to accept this Havamina, that two different limbs are like two different people, Hotzi Kigrogros B'shtei Yadav, Yehei Pato Mishneim Shtayim She'asu Malacha Achas. According to this, let's take it to the absurd situation that now my Reuven Smol and my Shimon Yamin are carrying this book. Maybe I should be Potter because it's like two people are carrying it simultaneously. Namely, the Yerushalmi itself was aware of the fact that you can take this approach to an absurdity, and the Gemara Yerushalmi says, no, that's certainly Chayat, that's Ba'asosa. We're dealing with one person. Namely, when the Yerushalmi deals with Yamin Usmol, it's dealing with it in terms of Shnayim Sha'asa'uha. This is not Rabbeinu Hanano. I just wanted to point out that even though this is Rabbeinu Hanano knew that there was a Yerushalmi that dealt with Yamin Usmol, he's using it very, 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 very differently. Okay? In other words, he's using it that the object is not, as Rabbi Black said, it's not going anywhere. But that's not the Yerushalmi. Okay? So just be aware that even though the Rabbeinu Hanano and the Rabbeinu Hanano use the same language as Yerushalmi, but in a totally, totally different context. How to understand the Yerushalmi, I have no idea. Was Yerushalmi serious? Was it really serious? Was it just raising this, you know, words in order to get us thinking about how to view a body within the world of Shabbos, that maybe this concept of Machsheves, that we would view a left and a right like two different kochos? I have no idea. I really don't know. And I'm not sure I'm reading the Yerushalmi correct, because I don't know what's a question and what's an answer, and whether our girsa is the correct girsa. Who knows? We don't have over here a Takun Chadatin. We don't have over here the Gra. Yes?
I just want to ask you, if I remember correctly, before everyone said you were on the baseball field and the guy is throwing the ball and he runs and catches. Right. So we say that he should be higher because of the fact that he knew that he was going to get it. Okay. What happens to you is like that. He's the first baseman and he wants to throw it to the second baseman, but someone's running around and he wants him to tag him. Mm-hmm. Okay. This don't get me any rules, I don't know any rules. Okay. But the second baseman bent down and tied his shoelace. So he didn't think that he was going to catch. He thought the second baseman, and he runs over there and he catches it. So that's not his kavana.
Right. You're 100% correct. At the moment we're dealing with kavana, it's very hard to know whether we're talking about a case where he changed his mind in midstream, or this is what he intended all along. But yitachain, that a person is allowed to change his mind in midstream and still has kavana. Namely, it's him. In other words, it could very well be that he changed his mind in midstream, but becholzo going to view it ka'adam echa. I'm just, you're correct. You're correct that kavana is something which is very, very subjective. And it's
the moral, though, if you pick something up to move one from room and you take it out, you're pucker, no?
If we know that, but then the question is whether we view this individual as having stopped, and then restarted, etc., and the person's in motion. Okay, it's a proper ha'ara that, I'm trying to assume that our Gemara was dealing with some sort of an objective world in which we can compare situations. The moment you deal with the subjectivity, so then, doesn't help you very, very much in terms of understanding the Gemara. Okay, so let's move back to Ben Hananel. What is our issue? Let's try and distinguish. What's a given? What's given, according to Ben Hananel, what's given is, if I'm standing stationary, and I move an object with my being stationary from left hand to right hand, I'm going to be potter. That's a given, okay? Rabbi Hananel also is very much aware that the classic Havaras Arba Amos Bereshus HaRabim is that I pick up an object, I walk with the object for Amos, and I put it down, I'm Chayav Mida Oraisa. He was aware of that, no question, okay? Comes Rabbi Hananel and tells us that if I stand here and I throw an object, Arba Amos, and I run over here and I catch it, that's going to be patur. That's going to be similar to my standing in one place and moving it from hand to hand. Now we have to try and understand why. How does Rabbi Hananel distinguish between a person who is carrying an object, Arba Amos, that is going to be Chayav Midoraisa, and a person who is throwing that same object, Arba Amos, to himself is going to be Patur, Mida Oraisa. It's going, that second case is going to be like he was in one place and moved it from left hand to right hand. That's what Rabbeinu Hananel says, that's our Gemara. That's the Patur. The Patur in our Gemara would be that we view throwing something to yourself, Arba Amos, like passing it from your right hand to your left hand when you're standing still. Namely, the common denominator is that in neither of those two cases did the object move. It basically stayed with him. The object did not move. If we'll ask where the object was before the Akira, in his hand. Where is it after the Hanacha? In his hand.
So, go back and move. The object moves.
So how do we understand that? How do we understand why when he carries it, we view the object as moving? Masha'en came, when he throws it, we view the object as having remained where it was altogether. That's where we got stuck last time, okay? And Baruch Shem, the clock said, Rabbi Miller, you can just send them off, and you'll come back on Sunday and daven that you'll try to understand it by Sunday. Okay. Any suggestions?
Is there a way to whether we learn Zorg from Moshe or something?
No, don't bring in Moshe. let's not deal with Moshe over here. This is not Moshe. Here we're dealing with ma'avir. We're dealing with moving something for Amos and Rishus Sarabim. Moving something, that's the av. Zorek is a tolda. Okay? Okay, so we have the av malacha of ma'avir. We have Zorek as being a tolda. And why over here we distinguish between the av and the tolda? Yes?
Could you say that he's only doing that here on Hanafa and he's not doing the transportation, which when we're talking about that's
the Iker. Sharpen it. Very, very. Okay, let's work. I mean, we're going to work off of what Yoni is saying. Let's use a phrase that we already learned. What we did with Ben Hananel, if you want to erase him. Let's use the phrase that we saw in the previous Gemara in terms of the world of Ha'avara. We had the phrase Akiras Gufo Ke'akiras Chefetz Dami. The Gemara had a question. Do we say Akiras Gufo Ke'akiras Chefetz Dami? The Gemara said, yeah, we do say Akiras Gufo Ke'akiras Chefetz Dami. We've gone through this already three times during the course of the last 3 months. what letter in this statement has two possible understandings? The kaf. Okay. A kaf hadimyon can always mean two things. It can mean that we have over here an equation. It can mean that we have over here a parallelism. Right? Either we have over here k, that we have over here an exact shivyon, an exact equation, or we have two dinim that are parallel to one another. Let's try this one. Akiras gufo ke akiras chefetz dami. That when I am carrying an object, as I begin to walk, the object is moving with me. Akiras, right? When I stop, my hanocha saguf is also the hanocha of this object. Namely, if I will be asked, where is this object? The answer is, wherever my body is. When I was oker, my body was over here. When I am meniach, my body is over here. Everyone agrees my body moved. How about the object? Did the object move? Because it's still in my hands. Right? The object, from one hand, hasn't moved. It's been in my hands all along. But what do we say? Akiras gufo, ka akiras chefes dami. We view the chefes as being part of the guf. Just as the guf moved, so also the object moved. Is there a malach of ha'avara over here? Have I done a ha'avaras arba amos b'shus harabim? Yeah, even though the object is still in my hand, but this is considered to be a ha'avara, because everyone agrees my body moved, and akiras gufo, ki akiras chefetz, we view the chefetz as following my body. Okay, so far so good? What if I take an object, and I throw it to someone else, and he catches it? Am I going to be chayev? Yeah. Sure. What happened over here? I didn't move. But the chefetz moved, independently of me. Nothing to do with me. I'm still here. I did an akira, right? And I did a hanocha when it landed in his hand. I did akira and hanocha, but I'm standing still. But the object moved independently. Now our question, in other words, when it began in my hands, it ended up in his hands. That's an akira and a hanocha. What happens when I throw an object and I run over here and I catch it? Is this the exact, is it, in other words, on one hand, one could view it in what way? I mean, what would be the conventional way of viewing it? That this object has moved for Amos, right? It's moved independently of me. But it's back in my hands. It's back in my hands. What is Rabbeinu Hanano telling us? What is his understanding of the world of Zrika? How do we view it when the two of us, in other words, what happens is when I carry something, this object is like part of me. When I throw it, it's moving independently, and I'm moving independently, and we meet at the destination. How do we view that meeting at the destination? Where is that object? Rabbeinu Hananel says, where is that object? It's still with me. Namely, it hasn't moved. It was in my hands. It's still in my hands. I moved, but the object didn't move. When I'm carrying an object, I view my motion as the object's motion. And so, just as I moved from there to here, the object moved from there to here. Yes. But when I am not carrying it, but rather throwing it, I moved, but the object was in my hand and returned to my hand. The object hasn't moved. This is what Rabbeinu Hananel is telling us, that this is the equivalent of my standing still and moving it from here to here. Because the object is not totally in me. The object was in me, was in one hand, and now is in the other hand. So to say, oh, but here I'm standing still, and here I'm moving, my movement is only meaningful if I'm carrying the object. Then akiras gufo ki akiras chefetz dami. That's a unique halacha. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is that when I carry an object, just as I went for Amos, the object went for Amos. If I'm not carrying it, either I'm standing still and moving it from hand to hand, or I'm throwing it and running to the other side, I moved,
but the object was in my hand, and it's still in my hand. The object hasn't moved. The object was in my hand. Okay, that's where Rabbi Nochanan is making the equation. That's his language, that we view it, that when he runs and catches it, it's like moving an object from left to right. That it's as though the object remains where it was. What about Ma'avir? That's unique halacha of Akiras Gufo ke Akiras Leifetz. This is the exception, according to Benu Hanano. But classically, if an object began in my hand and it remains in my hand, I'm looking for a Masechta. Okay. Odilma ka adam echa damiu patur vahave kinose miyamino lismogo afopisha hevira arba amos patur. The object is viewed as still being in the same place. Okay, that's l'chora, what I think my humble opinion is that Rabbeinu Hananel over here is saying. The Ramban, and with this we'll complete this sugya. The Ramban had Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa. He wishes he didn't. He says Yesh Rashi Perish Acher Tov Mizeh. But what can we do? We don't have his girsa. He had Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa, and he said we have to fit this into the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara uses the lashon of Shnei Kochos BaAdam Echad. Amar of Adar Barahava, the first wide line, Shnei Kochos Ba'adam Echad Kami Boile. Do we view Shnei Kochos Ba'adam Echad like Adam Echad, or do we view like Shnei B'nei Adam? So according to Rabbeinu Hananel, do we view like Shnei B'nei Adam, like the previous Sugya, and then you would be Chaya, or do we view it Ka'adam Echad, where the object hasn't moved, just moved from his left hand to his right hand? That's how we view Zrika, and it's Enodome, it's not similar to carrying an object. That's in other words, so within the Pshat, Rabban was willing to accept that, but what's Shnei Kochos? Shnei Kochos, according to the Ramban, seems to imply that we're dealing over here with forces. Forces, vectors. What are the Shnei Kochot that we're talking about over here? Classically, the Ramban heard the word Koach, his mind moves over to Baba Kama. We have Koach Acher Me'urav Bo. His mind moves over to Sanhedrin in the Perek Davayin Zayin Ayin Ches Ayin Tes Koach Rishon Koach Sheni. What Shnei Kochos? So just to read the Ramban, he says as follows: Kosuv b'kol ha'nuschaot Shnei Kochos ba'adam echot kishnei b'nei adam dami u'machayev odil makadam echot dami u'pater. Ken girsas Rabbeinu Hananel u'pirish. The Rabbeinu Hananel understood this. Kegon she'ne'ekar mimakomo. We're talking about that same person moved from his place. Kadam, he ran. Amad bimakomo, stood somewhere else. V'kibel. That's the case of Rabbeinu Hananel, right? That's the case that we've been assuming. That's the question is kishnei b'nei adam dami v'chayev shari akira v'hanocha hi. He's doing the akira and he's doing the hanocha, and therefore he is chayev. What bothered him? What bothers the Ramban? He quoted Aratosos. I don't like this pshat. Why? I'm throwing, doing one act of throwing. The throwing means I'm putting energy into this ball. My energy is one energy that I'm putting into the ball. Akira v'hanocha b'koach echadhu. It's one hemshech of energy. Why call this Shnei Kochos? Therefore, says the Ramban, I'd rather learn a different perush. Lashon Acher, I want to learn a different ukimta. Kagon Shekibel Ba'akira Mimakomo. I simply took a ball or a pen and I threw it in the air. You know what happened. And I caught it. I threw it in the air and I caught it. That's what I did. I just threw it up and it came down. That's the case of our Gemara. Not that I was kodem v'rutz, etc. Kibil ba'akira mimakomo. I threw it up and I caught it. V'kach perusha. And what is the issue? Kishnei b'nei adam dame. Do we compare this ka'omed umekabel? Is this like my throwing to the catcher? I'm the thrower
and I'm the catch, which instead of going laterally, it's going up and down, and then I'd be chayev. That I put a certain amount of energy in the ball, it hit a certain plateau, came back down, it's all me, and therefore I'm chayev. It's the same thing as my throwing it to the catcher. Just instead of throwing horizontally, I'm throwing vertically up and down. O Dilma, ka'adam echad dami sha'asa akira. Or maybe no. My energy created an akira. V'lo hinicha b'makom acher. But there was never a hanocha due to my energy. V'hachanami a hanocha lo nases mikocho harisha. What exactly is Ramban talking about? You know, who will be here learning Sanhedrin at one time? What's the halacha if I am standing above a vase? There's a vase on the ground. I take a stone, I throw it straight up, it goes up, stops for a second, comes down, and breaks the vase. Am I chayav? So there's Rabbeinu David in Maseches Sanhedrin who says, no. He says, if I take a rock, throw it at a wall, it ricochets off the wall and breaks the vase, I'm chayev. Then I'm chayev. But if I throw it straight up and it comes straight down and breaks the vase, then I'm patur.
Because gravity did it?
Because gravity did it, not me. Namely, the energy that I put into it dissipated when it hit the top. Then my energy is finished. It's coming down is not me. It's coming down is gravity. It's coming down is nothing to do with me. It's not my koach. I didn't break it. Gravity broke it. I put the stone in the air. Grama. When I throw a stone at an object, what's breaking the object? My energy. When I hit a wall and it bounces back, what's causing it to bounce back? My energy. If I were to throw it and it were to, I were to make the cheshbon of the gravity and my, in other words, so I'm taking gravity into account, but it's still me. Masha ain kain, when I throw it straight up and it comes down, that's no longer me. This is what I thought is that it's for you. Sorry, if you look over here in this run. This is the run on Dafayin Zayinim at days. I'm sorry, I cut off, I mean, it's simply the page ended and I didn't feel like doing the next page. This is in Sanhedrin Dafayin Zayinim at days. We read it together. Zorak Sror Bekotel V'chazra L'acholreha. I threw a rock at a wall, it bounced, came back, v'haragto, and killed someone, I'm chayav. That's me that killed him. Refarshin lekaman ta'ama, mishum debikahai gavna, kochohu. That a person is chayav for gufo, I'm chayav if I strangle someone, and I'm chayav bekocho. If he dies because of my energy, if he dies because of the extension of me. This is my extension. Zorak, however, and therefore hu hadin, zorak sro lemala. If I throw something into the air, v'holcholitzdadim, and it travels to you know where it's beyond me. It, you know, I throw it up, but I throw it at an angle
to the side.
So then we have, anyone took physics knows there's vector. Namely, I take into account my energy and the pull of gravity, and then it comes down. Nami chayav, d'hainu nami mishum d'koach kochushu. It's still me. I'm still involved. Nahon, I took into account gravity, but on my energy is still there as well, and that's enough to be machayit. Mashma, this is Rabbeinu David, about you know it's a colleague of the Ran speaking. The e azlit l'tachat. If I throw it up and it comes straight down, eino b'koach shelo klal. Then my koach is no longer there. Hu patur. Why should it be potter? Because of gravity? I don't understand. The gravity was caused by me. Why not view it? So, I always take advantage of the forces of nature. When I light a fire in my rishus, and there's a normal wind, I'm taking into account that this wind is going to blow the fire, and it's going to be my fire. Namely, because I harness the forces of nature. It's me and the forces of nature. So why isn't this viewed as me and gravity? My nafkamina between me and wind and me and gravity. Both of them are forces of nature. The chayev leman do amar isham isham chitzav. V'ochi kaimalan. אף על פי שאין איש הולכס מכוחו כלל, מאחר הוא מדליקה במקום רוח מצויה. That if I light something where I know that there is a normal wind, then the consequences of my lighting are considered to be an extension of me. Rowan also ki'ilu hu atzmo asa'a. וכן נמי תולדו דאשה, ואבנו סכינו ושניחם בראש גגו. ונפלם ברוח מצויה, וזיקו חייף. If I put something on a roof, knowing that every night at 11 o'clock there's going to be a wind which will blow this off the roof and break something of someone else's, I'm going to be chayav. Heich lo tehe hazrika shezrak lamala. So why, when I take advantage of wind, am I chayav? And when I take advantage of gravity, am I patur? So in tirtzu bazeh, the ein chiyuv nezikin ela bekoach ubepoel. Namely, that the person has to have input. V'lo b'mashin na'asa. Not something which is totally passive. Ruach metzuya poelati. When I'm using a wind, that's considered to be a force of nature. Using a force of nature, that's considered to be an extension of me. Rowan osa ki'ilu hu b'koach ha'adam. Ayadei she'i metzuya. I'm taking advantage of this force of nature. Avol yirida lamata. Here, this is a hakir in the world of physics. How do we view gravity? Is gravity the equivalent of a force of nature? Or is gravity simply ein b'poel klal? Gravity is simply a lack of force. Ela machmas kveda hi yoreda. Gravity is simply weight being left in and of itself. Va'afim harago, and even if you kill a person in this manner, I leave you in suspense, but it says pater, right? You'd be pater. Okay, so in other words, this I think is what the Ramban is telling us. This is over here, is how he used Rabbi Nochanal's girsa. Do we compare this to the case of Shnaim Sha'asa Uha? Do we say that when I throw it straight up and it comes down, it's like I'm throwing it to a pitcher, no nafkin between horizontal and vertical, this is only kocho asu? Or do we say, no, that in this situation, the Ramban says, the hanocha lo na'aseis mikocho harishon, like Rabbeinu David, that when it comes straight down, this is no longer him. And that's why I'm patur, because there's no hanocha. That in this case, there's an akira without a hanocha. There's not moving from left to right, like the Reino Hananel. Ramban didn't like that. But rather, we're dealing over here with an issue, is this still him? Or is this turned into memela, something that happens on its own? Namely, the akira is being done with his energy, but there's no hanocha. Yes?
Even if we send it to kolchos, he still didn't go for amos. So, we're fighting chayav, mavita amos.
Didn't go for amos. Where is he standing? Standing here. Avopisha Evira Arba Amos. Where over here would the Arba Amos be? Arba Amos, however you're correct, would not be up because once you're above 10 Tfachim, you're no longer in a Rishus Harabin.
Arba Amos for the Rashi, though.
What?
Pass from one hand there, it's also not
Dalad
Amos, is it?
The Kinta would be where it is Dalad Amos. But it's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. I have to think about that. Yeah, but in any case, I'm just going to, it's complete. So the Ramban wasn't happy with this at all either. Yeshu Rashi Perish Acher told me, Zeb, what can you do? We don't have Rashi's Girsa. But your question is a valid question. I have to think about what the answer would be. But over here, in this situation, the reason the Ramban wants to understand, put in this Perish, is that here we have the, do we view going up and down kishtei kochos ba'adam kishnei b'nei adam damu? Do we view these two kochot of going up and going down like going laterally? Odilma ka'adam echad damu? Or do we say no? We only have one koach of akira. We don't have a koach of hanocha. The hanocha is being done memela. That's why you're pater. In other words, ad kedei kach. Just within Rabbeinu Hananel's girsa, it's not Rabbeinu Hananel solved issues with his girsa. We have our own issues with Rabbeinu Hananel. Either we're going to learn from Rabbeinu Hananel with a total chiddush that throwing something for amos, it really doesn't move, as opposed to carrying it, then it does move, and distinguish between akiras gufok, akiras chayfetz, or whether it's moving independently. That also is very difficult. That's what Tosfos HaRosh, after summarily dispensing with Rashi, quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, and then he says, I have no idea what he's talking about. Or to take the approach of the Ramban, and then we have these chidushim Rabbeinu David is not accepted by everyone. Rabbeinu David says there are two types of forces of nature. Those forces that are active and those forces that are passive. I don't know if any physicists...
Doesn't fit in with physics.
Doesn't fit in with modern physics. Okay. The Ran over there also says Rabbeinu David. It didn't fit into medieval physics either.
Rabbeinu David is someone just standing on a roof and he drops an object down and another person should be put to the wall, right?
If he does it, if he simply lets go of it, then he'd be a grumma, and he wouldn't get Mashter Yonah. He's a murderer. Just that we're not going to kill him for it. He's killing someone bigrama. He's not killing him biyadayim. It's not kochel. Let's just begin the next sugya if we can, just to see where we're heading. Okay, but this is the sugya of trying to redefine or define properly the world of Akira and Hanacha. Amar of Avin, Amar of Yochanan. We're in the third wide line. Hichnis yado l'to chotzer chaveiro. Okay? V'kibel me gishamim. Okay, I put out my hand, and it's raining. And the water begins to develop in the palm of my hand. V'hotzi, and now I pull my hand out of the chotzer chaveiro into the reshus harabim. Chayav. I carried water from Rishus to Rishus. Maskif la Rav Zeira, mali hitino chavero, mali hitino shemayim. Just a minute. I didn't do an Akira. We pointed out that if someone puts something on me and I move my hand, I haven't done anything. Hitino chavero. So here, God did the Akira. Why should I be chayav if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the Akira? It's true, I'm doing the Ha'avara. I'm transferring in and doing the Hanacha, but God did the Akira. Why is God different than a Chaver? Iyu lo aved Akira. So Gemara says, we'll just change the case a little bit. Lo teima kibel. I didn't take God's raindrops that he did the Akira and put them in my hand. Ela kolat. The rain was falling. I took my right hand, I slapped the rain, and it fell into my left hand. Okay, so the rain was falling, and I was okir the rain, and put it into my left hand. So I did an akira. I did an akira in thin air. So the Gemara says, "What's going on over here? How will that help you?" Habin an akira me'al gabe makom dalet. This is thin air. Where is the makom dalet? We have to be dealing with an object which is resting on makom dalet. This is not resting on makom dalet. Amar afchia berei deravuna kagon shekolat me'al gabe koso. We have a wall. And the rain is flowing down the wall, and I am putting my hand and taking the rain off of the wall. It's flowing down the wall into my hand. So the wall is this makom dalet. But the question is halonach. And namely, we have a lot of criteria for akira. We need a makom dalet al dalet, but also we have to deal with the object which currently is stationary, and I'm putting it into motion. Akira means I'm taking the stationary object and I am moving it. Here the rain is flowing down the wall. So we have Arba Amos on its side, but we don't have a Hanacha. In order to do an Akira, I need something which is Nach. Kido Amar Rava Bekosel Mishupa. So we're dealing over here with a wall which is not perpendicular, which a wall which is at an angle, such that this wall which is an angle, you're in Yerushalayim. So you know, walls are made of stone. Which means that the stone is going to stop the water at certain points. And I'm taking the water from where it stopped on the wall. Then the Gemara has an aside. Where do we find this concept of kosel mishupa? And then after the Gemara deals with it, and we'll read the Gemara, but let's just to see where we're heading to, that Amor de Amar Rava, I'm sorry, Amor do Amar Rava, about the seventh line, B'sefer. That over there, they were dealing with one of Sifrei Kodesh, do Ovid de Nayach. The Sefer in that case was resting on this wall that was at a slant. Mayim mi avida de Nayche. But water doesn't rest. Water is always flowing. Even if it's going to hit a detour, it's going to keep flowing around the detour. How do we call that an Akira? We have water sitting in a puddle, and I take the water out of the puddle and I carry it out into Rishus HaRabim. No, so what's the Chiddush? Well, the Chiddush is that I'm chayev for water. We think only a ball, only a rubber duck. I mean, like, well, what's the Chiddush over here? Guma pshitalei. Mahu detema mayim al gabi mayim lav hanochahu. The Chiddush is I didn't take all the water. If I would have taken all the water out of the puddle, that would have been an akira from the ground. I took the water off the ground. The water was in a puddle on the ground. I took the water off the pound, off the ground. That would have been an akira. But over here, I take part of the water. So we would have thought that water on top of water is not a hanocha kamashmalan. That's what we're talking about over here. We're talking about taking water off of water, and the chiddush is that the bottom water is considered to be a makom hanocha for the top water. Okay, this is what we have to deal with. What is going on over here? What is the issue? What is the issue over here with water? And then we'll continue with the mayim al gabe mayim, egos al gabe mayim, and Tosos, of course, raises issues, egos al mayim, of boats on the water. Why? How do you know? It's where do we draw the line between different realms? And we'll move over into Bava Metzia, concept of Chatzer Mahalechas. Okay, so that's where we're heading to. So B'li Neder, we'll start with the Rishonim, the Tosos Harosh. Tosos Harosh asks, why did the Gemara give such an ukimta? Weren't there easier ways of learning what the situation was with the Megishamim? And so B'li Neder, we'll see next time the Rishonim on this sugya. Okay? The Seder. Thank you.